Recording live from the Hoban Law Group here in Denver, Colorado, I'm your host, Eric Singular. We're sitting alongside president and founder of the Hoban Law Group, Bob Hoban. We are joined today by Mariska Dreschler, the director of horticulture for Green Tech, to speak about the uncertain status of cannabis events worldwide. Thank you for being here with us today, Mariska.
Yes, happy to do that.
And I would love to get your perspective on what you're seeing in Amsterdam, how your day-to-day life has been affected here by the coronavirus.
Oh, it's been affected tremendously. Well, of course, we already heard and saw the signs from what happened in China. As a international exhibition organizer, we're fully aware of what it could mean for China, because we organize shows over there, but also to coming to Europe with the virus coming to Europe. So when last week things went in a rapid pace, much worse, and on Thursday we were there was a press conference of our prime minister, and directly after that, we were sent home from our office. And since then, we are working from home. So now I'm, exploring Zoom and Skype and all the other online features to make sure that we keep communicating with the team and with all our stakeholders.
Well, Mariska, as we've talked about, my daughter just returned from Holland. She was there on an exchange program, of course, and her description is that life is a lot calmer in the Netherlands than perhaps we've seen here by way of media in the United States. Although Denver and Colorado is pretty laid back, if you will. There's been changes, of course, but there's not a lot of panic in the streets, or so it would seem. Looking at those changes and looking at how it affects daily life, is there any projection from your government about how long they think this might last?
Oh, it's so difficult. Well, actually, there was a press conference about 1.5 hours ago, and our prime minister was asked, as they appointed the new minister of health today for 3 months. Well, will it last for 3 months? This whole situation, which was first announced as for next until the end of this month, 31 March, and he explicitly said that it will not be for 3 months. So we just don't know. That was also something that he said. It's a day by day new situation. And it's not getting better at this moment in Holland, and we still expect a more worse situation. But how long it will take? Well, we just don't know. But the prime minister said 3 months would be not logic.
Sure. Well, tell our listeners a little bit about Green Tech. Obviously, we're all familiar with it, but for those that don't know, what is Green Tech and what does it do?
Of course, I'm very glad to explain that. Green Tech is all about crop technology. Actually, all the technologies that you need to produce a crop sustainably and in the maximum way possible, so you get high yields and you make sure that you have not too many costs involved, as to say it like that. So vegetables, flowers, but also medicinal and cannabis in overall, how to produce that in the maximum way possible. That's where Green Tech is. What Green Tech is all about. So from greenhouses to all the equipment that you need in a greenhouse, indoor facilities, etc., etc.
And you had an event scheduled for the week of March 23rd, next week, in Mexico. Can you tell us about the decision-making process that went into postponing that event until August?
Well, of course, it was very uncertain and very, very difficult situation. But while we had this coronavirus, of course, also entering Europe, etc., it seemed like in Mexico there was not too much harm at that moment. But then suddenly everything rapidly changed, and we discussed it with our partner Tarsus, who is a very professional exhibition organizer in America, in Mexico, and we both decided to reschedule the possible to have enough international visitors coming to the show. We could not really guarantee the safety, the health safety of our exhibitors while traveling to Mexico and at the show. So we said this is the best solution at this moment. We don't have another opportunity. And first it was sad, but it was really, the people were really respectful and really understood why we did that and are fully with us now for the show in August, 25 to 27, 25 until 27 August.
And in recent hours, or at least within the last 24 hours, you've made some decisions about the Amsterdam Green Tech event. Tell us a little bit about that.
Oh, yeah. Well, the Amsterdam show, first we thought we will be safe looking at all the predictions that that were given by health authorities other professionals that this would last until the maximum 1 June. So it would be a safe possibility, a safe era, beginning of June, while Green Tech Amsterdam was planned for from 8 to 10 June. But after the last 2 weeks, and especially the last week, we saw that there were so many countries following and even total lockdowns in countries that we didn't expect. We attract visitors from 115 countries. So, and half of it, half of our audience is from abroad, so from outside of the Netherlands. And, I can count, and one is two, and this was a real clear thing. We could not, I could say it is not possible that we attract all those international visitors in June. It's just not possible. So we had to postpone it and to reschedule it to later this year in October. And it's a very sad decision, but it's the best decision that we could make at this moment. And we do have a slot in this year, and I think it's really important, especially when this market and the whole industry is down and has to restore itself. It's important to have an event where that can happen, where we can share the knowledge and share all our experiences and grab the opportunity and the possibility to make the horticulture sector strong again and to see where the strength is and to really embrace it.
How many people attend the event in Amsterdam annually, approximately?
About 13,500.
Wow.
Like that.
So it's no easy decision to move all of those exhibitors, et cetera. But let's take it a little bit outside of the specific event, and let's talk a little bit about Green Tech and its perspective on cannabis. It recently created its sort of cannabis pavilion, for maybe lack of a better way to put it. What led Green Tech to incorporate cannabis into its programming? Because Green Tech historically has been, as you point out, one of the larger, if not the largest, horticultural conferences in the world annually. What made it focus or put a focus on the cannabis industry?
Well, there's a thank you for the question. There is a lot of similarities in producing vegetables and flowers and in producing cannabis. So we see that the technologies that you use for that and to make sure that the yield is the highest, the crop is grown in the best way possible. With the best technologies possible, with the lighting, with the nutrition, etc. You see that that at the Green Tech, you have all those technologies that make this crop optimization possible. And so for cannabis, it belongs actually. It just belongs to the concept of the Green Tech. It's one of the crops that needs a lot of attention and a lot of care to make sure that it's the best product, as it's also it has been put in the bodies of people, and so you have to produce it in the best way possible, and it really fits very well to the to all the solutions that are at display at the Green Tech. Well, so Bob, I'm really happy to embrace it and incorporate it in our concept, and that really pays off because we see a lot of increase in the medicinal cannabis pavilion at the Green Tech.
Well, Bob, I know that you were in Amsterdam last summer to speak at Green Tech. I'm wondering if you could tell us what the response you saw during the talk you gave on cannabis.
Well, yeah, great question. Well, I'd even go back a little bit further. So we're very proud to have worked with Mariska and her team that's putting together some of the seminar planning, some of the speaker series attached to Green Tech that focused on cannabis. And some of the observations that I had, we came in and we brought a variety of professionals from around the world that work in this space, and they were talking about both sides of the cannabis industry, the marijuana side and the hemp side, as a commodity, as a global supply chain, looking at what's happening around the world with the plant, not just the cultivation elements of it, but how do you process the plant? How do you create extracted oils? What do those oils do? How are they used in different parts of the world? How are they regulated? And my observation, and we were, again, very proud to put that on, because bringing that knowledge to one stage drew a lot of people. I think that the event had anticipated that there would be dozens of people that would stay tuned for these speaking components of the event, but those rooms were overflowing with people, and we got a lot of great feedback and a lot of questions, in the sense that they didn't hear cannabis previously being talked about. That was the feedback that I got. They didn't hear it being talked about the way we were presenting it, that we were talking about it as a global commodity, so forth and so on. The thinking was that, well, you grow a cannabis plant, a marijuana plant, if you will. Holland, the Netherlands, they're historically prominent players in that field, in that industry. They do it as well as anybody in the world. But when you look at growing one plant and serving it as a flower, or simply extracting an oil from it, that was sort of a narrow view of what you do with that plant versus what's happening in the world today with terpenes and different cannabinoids, and the fact that hemp, in fact, is being grown to the tune of thousands of acres or hectares around the world, and how those very same components come out of the hemp plant. So there was a skewed interpretation of what the cannabis industry is, because it comes from a perspective that's historic and you know, unique to the Netherlands and that part of Europe. But looking at that global perspective, looking at how it's much broader, that was something that really, really stuck with me. And you know, we're excited to help plan some of that seminar programming this year to continue to give that broad perspective. Because as Mariska points out, it's about bringing technologies that help cannabis growers maximize their yield, maximize their efficiency, and you know, obviously that helps farmers and horticulturalists with their bottom line. But understanding where they fit in terms of context. This is where this portion of the industry fits in the context of the global cannabis industry, when many folks didn't even understand that there was such a thing, a global cannabis industry.
Well, Mariska, I'm interested in your thoughts and your response to some of that. Something that Bob and I talk about a lot is the different global perceptions and perspectives about what cannabis is. For example, in Europe, it seems that hemp is perceived much more akin to flax, just another agricultural commodity, not really thought of in terms of the cannabinoids that can be extracted from it. What are your thoughts on that?
I don't fully understand the question. Actually, I think it's this is a bit out of my my professionalism, I think, out of my knowledge, actually. But could you please repeat the question again?
Yeah, how do you, when you were seeing the response of the crowd at the 2019 Green Tech in Amsterdam, when you saw Bob and others speaking about cannabis to that crowd, how did they respond to that topic being introduced?
What I saw was that there is so much yet unknown in this whole field of cannabis, and even if you have to talk about medicinal cannabis or cannabis and hemp, etc. So what I really had as an experience is that the growers, the people that are really involved in the cannabis industry, were surprised and also excited about the professionalism of the show. So especially what Bob was also mentioning about what are the developments, what is happening actually in this world, and then combined with the very specific, and maybe I was too specific, but the specific crop optimization that is really happening, that is really the heart of the Green Tech, that combination really made it accelerate. So, and that was what I saw. People were really excited to see more of their own professionalism, and combined with the Green Tech professionalism of crop optimization, that was really like a win-win situation. And I said, I can calculate, it's 1 + 1 = 2, but in this way, it would be 1 + 1 = 3. It really has affinity.
No, that's a great perspective, and I want to key in on that element of professionalism. I don't think so many people around the world understand that this industry really is professional, and that it's working at a very, very high level. And to bring that perspective is something that we try to do every single day. One of the reasons we have this podcast, but also to spread that message. And you know, it was, and it continues to be a pleasure to work with you to sort of bring that professionalism out there. Because prior to that, the idea of growing cannabis was always, you know, is it borderline criminal or borderline illegal? Versus this is something that leads to medicine, leads to products around the world, leads to fiber and food and fuel, all these different things that you can do with the cannabis plant. I don't think a lot of people knew that. And if they knew that, they thought that it was amateur at best. But that professionalism surely came through. So as we look at Green Tech going forward in 2020, what highlights would you like people to walk away with from Green Tech about the cannabis industry, keying in on that idea of professionalism and, you know, technical progress?
Well, you see, there's a lot of interest in robotization, in autonomous technology, in how can we use big data to really grow the plant and digitize our cultivation process. Well, that's something that really will be on display at the GreenTech. What is also a very important thing and shouldn't be underestimated is, and there we are also with why a physical event, is to really engage with each other and really share knowledge. So what you were emphasizing as well, that we have this theater, well, we made it bigger. We can more audience can be there. So to listen to all the stories that are to be shared on new insights on how to grow the plants, but also on how the developments in the world are that we have to take into account while being a grower or being an investor in cannabis and hemp. So, but it's really it's a lot that you can take with you. But I would say AI, augmented reality, the autonomous greenhouse, robotization, all the technologies to really improve your process is one see and get to know your peers, so you can share knowledge and really make sure that you are on the right way with your business. There's a lot of investment involved, so you want to make sure that you have the best product produced in the best way. Well, at GreenTech, your peers are to be reached, and you can share their knowledge, your knowledge together, and make the industry better. So that's really something, and we focus on innovation in the medicinal cannabis sector and cannabis in total, also recreational. So I would say it's more than worthwhile to visit us in October.
Well, and speaking of innovation, Mariska, we know these events are so important for networking. Are you considering any digital opportunities or virtual options to bring people together in light of these events being postponed?
Yes, for sure. So at this moment, it's a little bit too messy, if I may use that word, to really do that already. But we are diving into the possibilities. We know there are a lot of digital solutions to do matchmaking with our audience, with our community. So yes, we dive into that, and I cannot wait to mold something around the 8th of June, when we should have the GreenTech, that we can really share knowledge, share the innovations that we already know, and already embrace and connect our audience as a step up to the physical event in October. We are definitely going to do that.
Well, that's exciting on one hand, and the other hand is you talk about augmented reality as a technology. I feel like we are living through some sort of augmented reality right now with this virus.
Yeah.
and the global shutdown. But not to make light of it. Just to you know, if you can't laugh and continue to move forward, then what's the point? But at the end of the day, we're very excited for GreenTech later this year, and we sincerely appreciate your time. And my last question before we run out of time here is really looking at, as you think about alternative ways to create networking, there really is no way to replace face-to-face interaction. There's really no way to replace the fact that people need to get together to have these events. So as these events go forward and as we come out of the coronavirus scenario, whether that's weeks or months or longer than that, what kind of things can event organizers and people like yourself, what can you do to make sure events are safe going forward? What kind of measures can be taken place? Or is this something that we're figuring out on the fly in real time?
Yeah, well, that's something, of course, that organizations like UFI, that's the organization where all the event organizers worldwide are a member of, are, of course, diving into on how to do that. And I don't have a clear answer on that right now, but you can be sure that that measure will be taken, because we, of course, want to safeguard the safety, to guard the safety of our visitors and exhibitors, so that that will be more than logic that we are going to do that. But people want to interact with each other, and we should really also encourage that. And of course, after all this terrible disease is over, so I'm sure we will have a good way to do that. And next to that, we will also, of course, like the medicinal cannabis, and cannabis is a very disruptive crop for the whole world. Also, this virus is very disruptive for the industry and also for the event industry. So we will also develop tools that are digital, so more with live stream, etc. And well, time will learn, but of course we will have a close look at it for our October event, that we can guard the safety of our visitors and exhibitors.
Well, if we don't take this moment, as you say, to learn some lessons and do things better, then we're really not making the best use of our time. So, Mariska, very much appreciate you spending some time with us today, and we will definitely look forward to come and seeing you live and in person sometime soon. And Eric, did you have anything else before we closed it out here this morning?
No, we will get to the other side of this, and we will definitely take those learnings with us. Mariska, we really thank you for being here today and to share your perspective on cannabis events.
Well, thank you for having me, and stay safe and sound. Huh?
You too, Mariska. Thank you very much.
Okay, bye-bye.
Thank you for tuning in to this episode of the Hoban Minutes special series on coronavirus and cannabis. You can head on over to hoban.law for more information on this podcast or the Hoban Law Group. If you have any ideas for subjects that we should be covering or any questions you want to pose to Bob or myself, shoot us an email at media@hoban.law. And stay tuned for the next episode on this special series, Coronavirus and Cannabis.